All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons, and today I am giving you my rapid reaction to the Falcons 41-17 loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers in week 5 of this 2018 NFL season.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yeah, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman. Been covering the Falcons for many years at FalFans.com. You can find me on Twitter at FalFans. And, of course, I'm the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast. Today, we are coming at you with another rapid reaction podcast sponsored by MyBookie. We are going to be talking about this disappointing, disheartening blowout loss of the Falcons on the road against the Pittsburgh Steelers in a situation where they were hoping to turn their season around with a win and dig out of this 1-3 hole that they've put themselves into. Now they have fallen into a 1-4 hole. Pretty much it would be a statistical, I wouldn't say miracle, but it would be a statistical anomaly for this team to dig out of this hole and make the playoffs. Still got an outside shot, I guess, at 8-8, but looks like, you know, for a lot of people, the season is over. I'll touch upon that towards the end of the show, where my thoughts on sort of how much hope and expectation I have for the remainder of this Falcons season. But let's start off talking about the Falcons' struggles on the road. That was going to be the big concern if you listened to last week's episode when we did the crossover with Tony Cirino, the host of Locked On Steelers. My big question was, can this offense sustain on the road? Because they'll need it to, because this defense going up against a struggling Steelers offense, but certainly a potent Steelers offense, was not necessarily something that we were looking forward to with any sort of real optimism. And the Falcons would need their offense to sort of travel and get off to a good start. One of the concerns I had was, you know, playing outdoors, Steelers stadium at Heinz Field. They had a home game for Pitt yesterday against Syracuse. And they also had some wet weather this weekend. And so the field conditions would not be as conducive to the Falcons. And, you know, one of the criticisms that people have for the Falcons, and whether you agree or not, today the proof was in the pudding. The Falcons are not particularly a great outdoor team. They seem to struggle on, you know, away from the dome. And that proved to be the case today. We'll have to see what happened with the, you know, I'll watch the All 22 obviously later this week. But right now you have two combined road games where the Falcons have scored a combined 29 points this year. At home, they're averaging 35 points. That's going to be a problem. Even if you're one of these people that, you know, like me, that's somewhat in denial that this Falcon team is done for this season. But they have two home games these upcoming weeks before they go into the bye, but then they have three of their first four games coming out of that bye on the road, six of their last nine games after that bye being on the road. And if this team cannot find ways to score points on the road, this is going to be a very long season. Right now, you know, even if, you know, let's imagine best case scenario where they come away with these two home games, go into that bye, win both of these games, go 3-4. You look at the statistical odds of the records going back to 1995 per 538. They have about a 19% chance of making the postseason going into that bye if they go 3-4. If they come out of that bye and get to 7-5 and get, you know, go come out 4-1, you know, they can move that to 50%. And that's one of the reasons why I'm not necessarily saying statistically this season is over. Now you're sitting there saying 4-1, come on, Aaron, there's no way they're going to do that. But you would look at it, at least on paper, and I know circumstances are sort of changing on that, but you would look at it and say, Redskins, Browns, Cowboys, Ravens, those are all four winnable games coming out of that bye. You know, they also have a fifth game against the Saints. But if they can't get it done on the road, you know, road games against the Redskins, against the Browns, against the Saints, and they can't get, you know, this defense is giving up on average 33 points a game. And if you're only averaging less than 15 points, even if you were saying, like, in both of these road games against Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, that this offense should have at least scored one more touchdown in both of those games, you're still talking about less than 22 points per game on the road. And again, with a defense that's giving up over 30 per game this year, regardless of the venue, that's not a good look in terms of getting the season turned around. So that is going to be a big question for me moving forward. Let's talk about the rest of the offense. you know, the Steelers, you know, we'll find out what the tape says, but the Steelers shut out Julio Jones for three quarters. He got some stat padding in the fourth quarter, finished with five catches for 62 yards. Austin Hooper had a good start to the game, catching eight passes for 72 yards. That was a weakness that people thought going into this game could be exploited with the Steelers' defense, but then Austin Hooper did nothing in the second half, only having one catch for 5 yards. The running game was pretty much non-existent. Started pretty strong with Freeman and Coleman being successful on the team's first, on four of the team's first 6 runs, leading up to that first scoring drive to start the second quarter. Then they had a 20-yard run for Freeman to start out their next series. But then after that point, after starting 5 for 7 in terms of their success rate running the football, they went 0 for 8 for the rest of the game between those two guys. And then Ito Smith was 1 for 3 at the end. The only successful run was the touchdown run that Ito Smith had at the end. So this team finished, you know, with a success rate in the low 30s between all three running backs, which is not good enough. And I think that points to the offensive line not really creating room for any of these running backs to run the football effectively at a certain point. Matt Ryan was hit 11 times, so the pass protection was certainly not good. Remember, they gave up 14 hits to the Eagles in week one. And so you look at it, through 5 games, Matt Ryan has been hit a total of 41 times. That's on pace to be hit over 130 times, which I believe he got hit 130 times over the entirety of the 2016 season. But that was including the 3 postseason games. I could be mistaken with that. So he's on pace to get hit 130 times plus in 16 games, which is not good. Now, I don't want to sit here and be like the Ridley pick was a bad pick, because I've been critical of that decision to draft Calvin Ridley on recent episodes. But one of the reasons why I am generally anti-wide receiver in the first round is that it always seems like, you know, more often than not, the very next year, those same teams that use that number one pick on a wide receiver are often spending a lot of money in free agency on their offensive line or using their top pick the following year on an offensive line. We saw that with the Falcons after drafting Julio. They went out and got Peter Kahn and Lamar Holmes with their top 2 picks in the 2012 draft. Obviously, they didn't work out for the Falcons. Again, I don't want to make it, I know people are going to hear that and be like, oh, you're saying the Ridley pick was a bad pick. I'm not saying that at all. I'm talking about ripple effect. I'm talking about cause and effect. I'm talking about these things aren't as simple as good versus bad as people like to simplify them to. There is a give and a take. Even with good moves, there's a give and a take. And when it comes to the draft, if you draft position X, that means you can't, even if you hit on that pick, that means you cannot draft position Y. And that's somewhat what you're sort of seeing with the Falcons, where they're getting a dynamic receiver that I think we're all going to be happy with over the course of the next 7 to 12 years that he plays in Atlanta, one hopes, with Calvin Ridley. But, you know, that pick being invested in Calvin Ridley is a pick that's not invested in this offensive line. And now that's sort of showing to be very problematic for this Falcons. You're seeing Ryan Schrader struggle today. Mac struggled today. I have a sneaking suspicion both of those guys might be playing injured, because both of those guys have not played up to their normal level of play over the last couple of years. You're seeing Schweitzer and Fusco, who I don't think necessarily were particularly poor watching the game live. We'll see what the tape says. But I don't think that's a pair of guards that you're going to be sitting there being like, oh, that's a good, solid pair of guards. So this Falcon team looks like it's going to be poised in the very near future, you know, and by very near future, I mean the 2019 offseason, to start a rebuild of this offensive line. And we'll have to see if they find success doing so. If they don't, you know, that's going to, you know, one of the things I've always said about the Julio Jones trade, not to say it was a bad trade, but I think it contributed directly to this team's downfall in those subsequent years, because all of a sudden, some of the other glaring issues on the team that hadn't been addressed for many, many years, including the offensive line, including the defense, sort of suddenly got, you know, sort of exacerbated, got exploited over those next couple of years, and it led to that team's downfall. Again, not saying that trading for Julio Jones was the reason why the Falcons went 4-12 in 2013 or 6-10 in 2014, but I do think it contributed to that. And so, you know, not to paint this doom and gloom portrait, like that's going to, you know, that's a thing that's going to befall the Falcons over this next couple of years, but it is one of those things that if they cannot address this offensive line and very soon and get better performance from this offensive line, whether that's the rest of this season or next season, it's going to be a problem. So we'll have to see about that. Now, before we get into talking about this still struggling Falcons defense, I want to let you guys know that you can get all your NBA previews this week on the Locked On NBA podcast. Six teams a day, 5 days this week, all 30 teams previewed from your local experts on the Locked On NBA podcast. Follow Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcasts, including Apple, Google, and Spotify, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Now, guys, if you listen to this podcast, you know I have a ton of answers about this Falcon team, but I don't have a lot of answers when it comes to which teams are going to win this week. I put money on the Falcons this particular week using my bookie. Did not make a lot of money, lost a lot of money this week. But that should not deter you guys that if you knew that the Falcons were a bad bet, and I'm sure many of you guys out there knew the Falcons were a bad bet this week, then you guys got to check out my bookie to take advantage of that very insightful knowledge. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. And that's why I always tell people to go to my bookie, because they are the best bet that you will make this season. Even in a series of bad bets, they are a great bet that you guys can have. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online. Their mobile site is very easy to use. There's in-game live betting, over and under on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. MyBookie has been slammed recently with new bettors, and they are giving you a $25 free play if you choose to deposit $100 or more after 7 p.m. Eastern time. Use the promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate that offer. Again, visit MyBookie today. That's MyBookie, and don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON25 to get an extra $25 after you deposit after 7 p.m. You play, you win, you get paid. Okay, let's talk about the defense. And, you know, we usually, the last couple of weeks, we always started things positive with the offense, but not a lot of positivity, as you guys just heard with the offense. Certainly not going to be any more positivity this week with the defense. 41 points allowed to a struggling Steelers offense. You know, there was a point in the game where the pass rush looked like it was getting going in the second quarter. You know, the team finished with 4 hits on Ben Roethlisberger today. 3 of those came in that second quarter. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Falcons gave up 0 points during that second quarter while giving up 41 points in the other 3 quarters. Tack had a quiet game. I think the Falcons certainly felt Jarrett's absence, particularly in terms of the run defense. James Conner absolutely carved them up. One of the things we discussed on this past week's episode was not necessarily the fear of Antonio Brown, but it was really if the Steelers could get guys like Conner and Vance McDonald and Juju Smith-Schuster going, that would be a problem for the Falcons, because you know, Antonio Brown is going to get his. He got his. He made the most with a 47-yard bomb touchdown when he roasted Robert Alford. He got another touchdown against Isaiah Oliver when Trufant exited the game briefly. Oliver handled his own, broke up a pass, a back shoulder throw to Brown earlier in the play before in that series. But you knew eventually Antonio Brown, Oliver just can't handle that right now. He probably never will be able to handle a guy like Antonio Brown. That's not really what he specializes in, quick guys. He's more a big guy. But, Brown, other than that, I think the Falcons did a pretty good job against Brown. He had, other than those 2 plays, those 2 touchdowns, obviously I'm not sitting here saying like those two touchdowns were very critical to the Steelers' success. But other than those 2 touchdowns, they held Brown to 4 catches on 11 targets for 45 yards, which, again, if you're sitting there saying like you held Antonio Brown to 4 yards per target, that would be very good for the Falcons' defense. So kudos to the coverage of Alford and Trufant for the most part, keeping Brown in check. Them keeping Brown in check, you know, sort of however well that they played against Brown was taken away when it came to James Conner, who had 25 combined touches for 185 yards, had 21 carries, a success rate of 67%, which is ridiculous. For those of you guys that aren't regular listeners of this podcast and hear me talk about success rate, a good success rate is above 45%. Like, that's what you want. 50% is great. 55% is elite. 60% is ridiculous. So 67% on 21 carries is absolutely terrible run defense. You saw Connor carve up the Falcons, almost averaging nearly 20 yards on his 4 receptions, 4 targets, 4 touches, 100% success rate on all those plays. So James Conner absolutely obliterated them. So if you guys started James Conner in fantasy this week, kudos to you. Again, this is going to be this is something we talked about, but continue to go all in on running back starts. If you have running backs playing the Falcons, play them every single week. Don't let this Falcon team ruin your fantasy football seasons. But I think a big part of why Conner was so successful, the linebacker play was particularly poor after two promising weeks these last two games. Riley really struggled in this game. I didn't see much from anything from Campbell. I think he had like one decent pass breakup on Vance McDonald, but from what we'll see what the tape says, but looked like he was not contributing anything in run support. Olakun had some notable breakdowns as well. We saw quite a bit of Jordan Richards and Sherrod Neesman splitting reps at that strong safety position today. I think understandably the Falcons game plan going into this game made sense. They were like, instead of having, we talked about this on last week's show, is like, would they shadow Antonio Brown with one of their corners? They decided not to do that. I get it. Given Trufant probably is the best candidate, but it was coming off of a poor game. So they wanted to Trufant and Alford to do the bulk of the heavy lifting because Brown is primarily an outside receiver. So they put Poole back in the slot, moved him from strong safety, put him back in the slot. Juju Smith-Schuster didn't really have a big game. He had a couple of catches. Poole, you know, had a couple of mistakes. But for the most part, I thought the cornerback play again was pretty good, but the linebacker play was poor. I thought the safeties were okay. You know, the cornerbacks are going to give up some plays, which is understandable. Linebacker play in the front play was very poor today, just looking at the stats. Casey had a nice interception on sort of a lame duck pass from Roethlisberger, which was a terrible decision and a terrible throw. Casey was stuck on a Brown over the middle and sort of Roethlisberger understandably being like, oh, who's this number 41 guy who I don't even know who that guy is. He's covering Antonio Brown. Let me throw up a jump ball to Antonio Brown. But he put too much air under it, and Casey was in the position to make the interception. He made the play. Kudos to DeMonte Casey. Dirty DeMonte is very reckless. He's not as reliable playing at single high safety, but he has been very opportunistic for this Falcons defense for the second consecutive week, being in the right place at the right time for an interception. And, you know, I'm not complaining about that. I'm not being critical of him. I'm just sitting here saying, like, you know, especially given this defense can take any turnover that they can get, any stop is a good stop. That took away 7 points from the Steelers. Unfortunately, the Falcons did not capitalize on that mistake themselves with points of their own. But so, you know, kudos to Dirty DeMonte, you know. But, yeah, this defense is struggling as we thought it would. We'll have a little bit more thoughts on sort of the struggles of this team and how they can sort of turn around their season. But I mentioned earlier about fantasy football, guys, and I know you might be out on the Falcons season, but you don't want to quit on your fantasy football season just yet. The Locked On Podcast Network has two fantasy shows, Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7, to get the latest updates on injury and roster news from around the league. You can also check out Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast with host Vinny Iyer, which has a different expert on every day from around the fantasy world. Get them both wherever you get your podcasts, your team, every day. Now, guys, as someone who has covered the Falcons for many years, there's a couple of rules that I tend to live by. One of them is that the team is never as good as you think they are, and nor are they as bad as you think they are. And that's one of the reasons why I get excited about our newest partner, which is Lokai. If you haven't heard that name before, now you have. Add a little game day swag, because now Lokai has your back with a new game day bracelet collection. It's an amazing company. I don't typically wear bracelets. I typically rock the rubber bands and whatnot. But I think I'll make a switch here because I like what Lokai is bringing to the table. They have game day bracelets that come in all 32 team colors. They hold waters from Mount Everest, the highest point on Earth, mud from the Dead Sea, the lowest point on Earth. It is a daily reminder to keep that balance in your life between the highs and the lows. And I think that's certainly a message that makes sense for Falcon fans and certainly makes sense for me, particularly given sort of how this season seems to be going. I think that's an awesome message, and I think it keeps both me and you focused during both these good and bad times in our lives. Since Lokai is a new friend of the show, they are offering an exclusive discount of 25% off all Game Day Collection bracelets. Trust me, guys, you want to take advantage of this deal. Head over to Lokai.com, that's Lokai.com, and use the promo code Falcons25 to get that exclusive discount of 25% off any game day collection bracelet. You guys definitely want to take advantage of this deal. Now I want to talk to you guys about Vivid Seats, because I know you guys in this rough time of the season want to find things that you enjoy. And of course, you enjoy a night out free of the Atlanta Falcons. So next, maybe you want to go check out a great band, head to the theater, or, you know, if you haven't quite given up on this Falcons season, maybe you want to be at that next home game to be on to cheer this offense in person and maybe boo the defense in person. And then you can now do that with Vivid Seats. You can attend any concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for all live events that you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in a specific section or row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving our listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off any orders of $200 or more to save you even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play right now and download the Vivid Seats app. Use that promo code LOCKEDON to get $20 off of orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by 100% guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Again, download that app. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders, $200 or more. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. Okay, let's wrap things up, guys, by talking about, you know, some big picture things. Certainly, you know, my hope was, even if the Falcons lost, that they would be a competitive game, that they would, you know, basically the offense would come out firing. Maybe they would lose because the defense would blow it in the end, as they have done the last couple of games. You know, maybe the offense wasn't necessarily perfect, but would at least give us some confidence that, okay, this offense isn't going to stall once they get on the road. This defense, while certainly, you know, at best a work in progress is the kindest way of saying it, at least maybe they would make some strides this week against a tough Steeler offense. I don't know, man, but that didn't happen, basically. I'm not going to sit here and declare the season over. I will continue to be in denial at this point, if for no other reason than the fact that I have to do a daily podcast for 12 more weeks this season. And so basically declaring the season over with 60 shows left is just kind of like, I can't just mentally deal with that. So I'm going to at least try to be invested through this bye week and be like, hey, they can still turn this thing around. So we'll see what happens through the bye week. But obviously, you know, I say that, but I don't necessarily truly believe that. But we'll have to see if they can turn things around at home next week against the Buccaneers. They've now lost 5 winnable games. And I think that's a very big concern, considering they lost some close ones at home that they should have won, and they've gotten waxed now twice on the road. You know, I always joke on this podcast about the Falcons being the perfect slump breakers. If you're in a slump, play the Falcons and you'll break that slump. But you saw that in abundance today. Steelers were one of the worst third down offenses in the league going into this game. I think they converted 31%. I think they were ranked 28th in the league going into this game. Well, guess what? They converted 75% of their third downs today. They were 29th in the league in rushing, had a combined 130 rushing yards over the last 3 games combined. Guess what? Well, they had 131 rushing yards today against the Falcons. Oh, you know, the Steelers had 6 combined first quarter points in their first 4 games this year. They had 13 today. So all the areas where the Steelers needed a boost, needed to show that they could turn around their season, they got it today against this Falcons defense. In all the areas where the Falcons needed to show that they had it and were ready to turn around their season, they did not show that. So we'll just wait another week, even though that sort of tells you everything you kind of need to know. We'll wait another week and see if they can get things going against the Bucs. But, you know, one of the things we'll probably talk about on Wednesday's crossover episode is we'll talk about what areas of the Bucs struggling in, because if whatever those areas are, they will probably have success against the Falcons this upcoming week. That seems to be the trend. And it's problematic for the Falcons right now, because even in the areas where they should have an advantage, where they should be able to take advantage of the weaknesses of opposing teams, they are not doing that. And I think, you know, one of the big issues that I saw today was the lack of discipline. And again, I know people are going to be very critical of the coaching staff for because of that lack of discipline, because they feel like the coaching staff should have a direct control over that. I'm not necessarily mad at the coaches. You know, again, that may be something else that I'm in denial about, but I don't think it's a coincidence that you have several young players. You had Russell Gage on the punt return interference. You had Olakun with an unnecessary roughness, you know, with the Steelers, so the Falcons defense backed up and getting a stop and then, you know, turning that into whatever, half the distance to the goal or whatever that was in a new set of downs. And I think they scored on the very next play. So, you know, young guys making mistakes is sort of the norm in the NFL. That's why teams typically don't play rookies. And again, it goes back to 2016 where they had a bunch of young guys playing. They didn't make these same mistakes. And, you know, everybody was praising the coaching staff for getting those young guys ready to play then. So I don't think it's because the coaches can't coach. I just don't think the players are as good. I think that's very clear that, you know, the Duke Rileys and the Foyer Olakuns just aren't on the same level as the Deion Jones and the Keanu Neals, right? I don't think that's a hot take, do you? But, you know, I think part of it is, and again, it could be, you know, I could watch the tape, the All-22 later this week and be like, oh yeah, the coaching staff did not do a good job. But I do think part of it is, at least for me, that I think some people are sort of throwing extra shade at the coaching staff because I think they spent 7 months this offseason hyping up how talented and how great this defense, particularly this defense, was going to be this season. And rather than just being like, oh man, I really blew that one, I think they're just sort of looking like, oh, I wasn't wrong about this defense being great. It's the coaching staff and the injuries. If the coaches knew how to coach and they weren't injured, I would have been 100% right. Rather than just being like, no, you kind of overrated this defense. And for me, at least, the reason why I say that is you look at the Falcons defense last year. I think they were 22nd in defensive DVOA last year. Again, I think it's a massive myth that the Falcons were a good defense. They were probably better than that 22nd ranking, but like not by a huge, huge degree, guys. And then you take away, you know, you take the 22nd best defense in the league and you take away four of their top six players on that side of the ball, including arguably their three best players in Jarrett Jones and Neal. And I don't think you should be surprised by the results that you're seeing on the field. Now, I certainly think you can, I would agree with you that this defense is underachieving, and that's a criticism that you could throw at the coaching staff. Instead of giving up 33 points, I would say that maybe they should be giving up like 26 points or something like that. That's still too much, but it's certainly better than 33 points. I think that's a fair criticism, but I don't know. For me, it's one of those things where I don't feel like the coaching staff has done a particularly poor job so far this season. I just think they don't have the talent that they had. This team is not a 26 team. You know, I'm not going to throw Sark under the bus like I'm sure some people will this week. Maybe I will after I watch the film. But right now, I'm not necessarily, because I think the offensive line has played so poorly. And, you know, this is a dome team. Say what you want to say. But I feel like, you know, Sark isn't Shanahan. He's not going to drop 35 points every game, clearly. And in mass, the fact that this defense is getting carved up for 26, 27, 28 points every single week. And, you know, this defense just doesn't have the talent that it had in 2016. No Claiborne, no Freeney, no Babineau, no. I'm kidding. But no Jones, no Neal, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, some of your other top players like Alford and Trufant haven't played great so far this season. You know, they were better today, but they just haven't been as good, over this last, you know, couple of weeks as they have been in past years. So I think that's what the results are. So I'm, you know, again, I might be in denial with this as far as throwing shade at this coaching staff. I certainly am not going to sit here and be like, they're doing a great job. But I don't necessarily feel like it's a coaching issue that is plaguing the Falcons. I think it's a talent issue. And I think they were overrated going into the season. I think there's certainly the injuries took away their most talented players, and you're seeing the results. It is what it is. And, you know, I can't paint a rosy portrait coming off of this game that I tried to the last couple of weeks because I just thought this Steeler team was not impressive to me. But, you know, the reality that I've been in denial over is that this Falcon team, even though I think they are capable of more, you know, I don't know if they're they're going to get more. We're going to get more. So we'll have to see what happens next week against the Buccaneers. They'll be at home. They'll be against a team that they're familiar with, and they'll be at a team historically that they tend to dominate, particularly in home games, particularly offensively versus that Buccaneers defense. So we'll see if that history repeats itself, or you know, if they only drop 24 points and Julio Jones gets taken out of this game, then there'll certainly be some major issues for this Falcon team. But yeah, that's it, guys. If you have thoughts, I'm sure you are start going to inundate me with draft related questions about who the Falcons should draft. I don't really have an opinion on that. I will say this, that I'll tend to wait. Like, I have thoughts. Don't get me wrong. I have opinions on it. Don't get me wrong. But I am willing to be a little bit more patient to see a little bit more of the season to play out. Once we get to the bye week, I think I'll have a much firmer opinion, be more willing to sort of share my thoughts on certain things. But right now, or let me be honest with you, the Falcons have too many holes for me to just narrow it down to one or two things, basically, is what I'm saying. So I want to see a couple more games before we start to see, like, okay, this really is an issue. Okay, right tackle really is an issue. Okay, maybe they have to draft a center. Maybe they have to draft a DN. Maybe they have to draft D tackle. Maybe this linebacker position is something that they will have to use a high pick on, or maybe have to spend some money in free agency or something like that. So I'm playing more of a wait and see game. But if you have those thoughts, by all means, you can share them with me on Twitter at FalFans, or with the show at Locked On Falcons. That's the show's Twitter handle. And if it is podcast-related, comment, question, or query, then send it over to Locked On Falcons. Of course, that is the name of our Facebook page as well. As well, our email address is lockedonfalcons@mail.com. And of course, you can leave a comment at falfans.com, where the show is posted daily. Tomorrow, we will be back with more thoughts on the Steelers game with a guest. And we'll see what it's what. And then we'll be back Wednesday with a crossover episode looking ahead to this Sunday game against the Buccaneers. So until then, guys.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.